This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another lunchtime episode of the Doxcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the recapful Rich Early.
I think we were dealing with, like, hangry or something.
Oh, I could have. I could have tied it all in with the lunch thing. That would have been good. Except you're not so much hangry as you are just, like, hang-zausted.
Hang-zausted. Ooh, that's good.
That's
yeah.
a new one. The hang-zausted Rich Early.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's just Josh and I today, and we're a little bit behind in podcasting because we've just had our lives and occupations have us really busy right now. So
yes.
We're going to post this podcast. It's supposed to go up Monday mornings at 9 a.m. We're recording live on Twitch at about noon on Monday instead. Yeah. So it's just kind of lunchtime with Rich and Josh, and we're going to recap some of the things coming into the shop and that we've been playing, and some of the and look forward a little bit to some of the things coming up in the next month here. So,
yeah,
just kind of a BS episode for lunchtime. I did it, Josh. I tapped the table once, but that is my only time. I promise.
It.
So
I'm gonna put one of those money jars up here.
Yeah,
and you're
every
have to
time,
put in like
yeah.
a dollar every time.
Nice,
depending on how hard you tap the table.
So, Josh, you've been a very busy guy lately. Just lots of family
yes.
and.
Oh yeah, I mean, as anybody who has children. And a job and all that. No, life just never slows down. So of course we're into soccer, the next session of soccer, which means more traveling and practices and all that. And my son just got into the middle school play, so he's got rehearsals that he has to be at, which means picking him up late from school some days, and you know, lots of stuff going on. Really, really good and fun things, but it just tire you out. And then on top of that. You know, we've been busy, Paul and I, with the Kamikaze Snowmen. We, you know, just last month, not even 3 weeks ago, two and a half, something like that, had our CD release show at Killstone Brewing, which was a phenomenal success. It was a lot of fun. I believe they still have some of our custom beer on tap, Liquid Ignorance. So feel free to stop by Killstone and have a pint. But we did that, and then we performed at a show. Our good friend Adam Quinnell, who was lived in the area for a number of years and was a very prominent comedian. He's on Stand Up Records now. Moved down to Minneapolis. He and his wife are moving to L.A. in like a week, and so he had a couple of shows up here. He released a new album. We got to perform with him on one of those shows. And so that was really fun. That was great. And of course, now we've got Anime Fargo coming up this weekend. And so we're busy, you know, because everything, it's like we couldn't start all the Anime Fargo stuff because we were busy with all the other things ahead of it. And now we're getting things ready. We've got, this year we're doing a game show, like a Japanese style game show. Maybe not quite as crazy. As those get, but we're preparing all the things. There's like a bunch of little mini games and stuff. People will basically choose a picture off of a board, and then there'll be a game they play, which may or may not have much to do with the picture, or at the very least, you won't be able to tell exactly what the picture means. And hopefully, it'll be a big fun thing with lots of zaniness. So that's
one question comes to mind.
Yeah.
How racist will Paul be? I'm just curious.
Zero. We discussed several things, and we got them out of our system beforehand. There would be no bad,
impressions or – okay.
There may be impressions of anime characters. That might be one of the things that you can do, but not of the Japanese people.
Okay.
Well, because we watched some Japanese game shows, of course, as research for this, so we could figure out what exactly we wanted to do. There's a lot of stuff with butts in those. Like, there's like a game where you put on a blindfold and someone has to like feel other people's butts and figure out who they are. And so it's less a concern of being racist and more a concern of just being outright inappropriate if we really wanted to follow the letter of the law. But we've taken that and we've changed some things so there's less. There's less like spanking people and feeling butts, which I'm sure is a disappointment to some. Maybe if this is huge, we'll do an After Dark one next year. Mm-hmm. But this year it's middle of the afternoon, or it's actually 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. So we're taming it down a bit from what you might see on an actual Japanese game show. But it's requiring a lot of prep work. We have to do trivia and, you know, get a bunch of materials together and create the board. And, yeah, so... So that's what I'm going to be spending my next several nights doing, is getting ready for that. So Friday, we're ready, and then Saturday, we don't have to worry about it. Saturday morning, we can just set up and do it. And of course, enjoy the rest of the stuff we're going to be doing at Anime Fargo this year. So
sure.
So yeah, that's been taking up a good chunk of time, all that stuff. And that's been keeping me busy. How about you?
The Kamikaze Snowman career. I'm really excited. It seemed like a while there that you guys were, you were attending the conventions, right? But yeah. You weren't necessarily doing a lot otherwise with the career of the band. And all of a sudden now these last 6 months, it seems like you've really rededicated to that.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, the Kamikaze Snowman, we love doing it. A lot of times it seems like just a good excuse for the two of us to get together and hang out and do something creative instead mm-hmm. of just going to a bar or something, which nothing wrong with that. But it's nice to get together and actually focus in and write music or record or, you know, work on this thing, et cetera, et cetera. And... excuse me. But yeah, we've been kind of coasting a little bit, which... maybe isn't the right word to use, because we've been working hard at the things we've been doing, but we've been doing the same things. So it's like, okay, CorCon's up next. All right, Anime Fargo. You know, we've just been doing the same conventions and then this year, and we were starting to feel a little worn out, a little burnt out. And so we were discussing and we're like, okay, well, are we going to take a break next year? Are we going to say we're not going to perform at CorCon, we'll just, you know, maybe show up and enjoy it and whatever. And not that we didn't enjoy it with all the stuff we're doing, but then we ended up, we got booked for KeyCon up in Winnipeg, and so that was a breath of fresh air. And then CorCon this year was just phenomenally successful for us, you know, especially our stand-up shows and everything. And with the new album that came out, we got people picked that up, and that gave us some new life. And so that was all great, and Anime Fargo, so now we're feeling a bit more hyped up, and we're ready for Anime Fargo, really excited for that, and, you know, that could, of course, go terribly and take the wind out of our sails, but fingers crossed, it'll be wonderful. But that, and then the CD release show was a really fun idea that went very well. Again, it was a very experimental thing, doing it at the brewery and doing the brew tour experience with the beer and everything, and people really glommed onto that well, and then... you know, getting to perform at an actual comedy show. Because mostly, you know, like I was saying, we perform at the conventions, and we did our own show, which was pretty much, since it was such a small venue, it was mostly friends of ours and people who are already fans. So, you know, it's easy to do that show because you're playing to a room that loves you no matter what. We could really screw up, and they'd still be friends and fans, you know. But we did that, and then performing with Adam, you know, it was just a quick guest set. We just did a handful of songs, but it was, again, very refreshing because we haven't taken the opportunity. We haven't done a lot of open mics in town because our schedules are so busy, and without there being a dedicated comedy club, we haven't really gotten onto an actual show in so long that you kind of forget. It's like, okay, well, does the audience actually even enjoy what we do, or are we just so zoned in with our usual crowd that, you know, you'd lose a little perspective? But it went so well. I mean, we kicked it all off, and the audience was hot, just 100% into it from the start. And it was just so great. And it's like, okay, we could probably, you know, do this more. And so we know the guy who's booking, it was at Front Street Tap Room down in the cellar. It's the basement. I don't know if the cellar that's what they call it, is the cellar. Don't mean to make it sound like you have to open up a creaky old wooden double door in the back of the building and go down some steps and then, you know, there's roots and stuff everywhere. But yeah, so we're pretty much, you know, planning to do a show with them probably January or February as they're getting started booking that room. And, you know, Killstone, they loved it. They had a great time. They want us to come back and do something like that with them again. So, you know, we're starting to pick up some more of these things and breathe a little bit of new life into the band and performing and stuff. And it's been wonderful, but it's been tiring.
They're just listening to you, I'm tired.
So. You were tired regardless of
true, but now I'm going to just take a nap the rest of the podcast. And
just listen to me talk about how great life is.
Yeah. So, I think when I listen to you, the big lesson is, and I think this overlaps with my actions and thinking now as well, is you have got to grab your life, and you have got to believe in something about yourself, about what you're trying to do, and then you've got to live by that. And you can't control the results.
Right.
No one could have show up for your shows. You have no idea. But generally, when people are being true to themselves and putting the work in and sending that feeling out, you're going to get results. It's just almost always true. So.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
Example 101, we 101, as we talked about on the podcast, I think last week, we did D&D for Dogs this weekend. And maybe we posted that one 2 weeks ago. I don't know the sequence exactly.
No, I think that was last week's.
And we had 22 tables of D&D players over 3 days that had a total seating of over 130. There weren't 130 different people. I'm not saying there was about there were really close to 50 different people here. Mm-hmm. So the average person played probably about 2.5 times. I'm thinking without doing all the math or whatever. I was told there would be no math.
Yeah.
And we raised we did reroll jars. We took $20 off of every table that fired for operation, and everything else went to the charity. Mm-hmm. And Savannah Leach also sold merchandise and did bring in a couple of dogs.
Awesome.
And we raised close to $1,600 as a really rough guess. So, yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. And, I mean, for me, this was exactly the marriage of events at Paradox with doing good things that is what I'm trying to reinvent this store as. You know, like I used to spend, and I still do and still will, you know, mm-hmm. I would spend a lot of energy trying to organize events for 4 to 8 people, right? You gotta, and believe me, those events do take sometimes as much energy as the big ones do, because you've got to create the event, you've got to buy the OP kit, find out what it is, find out when the event is, or create it yourself. Then you've got to write it up. You've got to promote it by getting it in Facebook groups, on your website, on your calendar. You got to let your employees know when it is. You've got to talk to people in the shop as they're coming in, because if you don't, it won't be successful. Things like that. So you do that a lot, and you get, you know, 4 people then show up, right? And you think, and all it was an entry fee of $5 for an OP kit you paid $25 for, and then you paid somebody to run it, right? So that is a backbone of a game shop. All that stuff is really important. I don't mean to imply it isn't or that we aren't going to do it, you know, but the more that I can instead combine the values I've got of doing good things for people, of helping people in this case, but I didn't just help dogs, you know, but we'll talk about that in a second. But, and putting that together with the things that our customers want to do, it's got results. I mean, it's over and over. We had a picnic this summer for Ronald McDonald House. We had this, we had Ronald McDonald House at Free Comic Book Day, so on and so forth. Like, this is where I'm headed. And there is a near complete overhaul of Paradox as you know it over the next year that's going to take place. So the appearance of the shop, the events of the shop, the online services of the shop, everything is working into one direction to be all aligned in one goal and to have people surrounding us who want to be part of that goal. So, yeah, we're very excited.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend and play during the weekend, but I'm really glad to hear that it fired so well. Those are the sort of things, and we've discussed this in regards to, you know, some of the other events and things that we've put on. I say we. I have very little to do with many of them, other than helping to promote using the DoxCast and whatnot. But you never know. I mean, the first time you do something, it could be a couple people. It could be everybody. But the most you can hope for is finding what works and helping make it grow into something bigger. Like, and that's one of the cool things, I think, about a lot of these charity events and other things is it's not just a one-off thing. Like, we're not just going to do this once and then just leave it unless it really doesn't work or the people you're partnering with decide not to partner again or whatever. Because like the picnic and D&D for dogs here, whatever, Extra Life is a great example. That's coming up, you know, where it started and where it is now and yep. how it's constantly evolving and we're taking the good and we're removing the stuff that doesn't work and it's all building. And sometimes it can be tough because regardless of where it's at and how successful it is, you still have to put a lot of work into it.
Yep. Well, the other thing I was going to say is like the you know, the charity was specifically money for dogs, right? And so $1,500 is a lot of money. It's great. But that was the tip of the iceberg for who we helped. It was empowering Savannah with mm-hmm. her volunteering and her, you know, showing her charity what she could do, you know, and what she could be a part of for them, right? Because when mm-hmm. she put it to their board, they were like, "What the hell are you talking about?" Yeah. You know, so but we gave all these DMs an opportunity to sit down with players and mm-hmm. give them a great experience. And all those players got to come and get a great experience. And on Saturday night, like I DM'd a table of four ninth grade kids who they had a great time, you know, and like we weren't part of the Epic, the main event that was going on.
Right.
We thought it was their first time coming to play anything. We thought throwing them deep into the Epic was just not what we wanted to do. So but we had a terrific time. And there was a part of me during that where I felt like, you know, where I felt like, well, we're over here and all the action's over here at the Epic. But I know now the best thing I can do is give the most I can give no matter what my circumstances are, right? So even though I felt like, oh, I want to be part of that Epic, but that doesn't matter. I wasn't, right? I was part of those ninth graders' experience.
Yeah.
And so it's like that thing where you're measured by like what you do when no one's looking, right? Like,
yeah.
like and we had a great time. We had a terrific time, and one of their dads texted me and was like, oh, they just talked about it all the way home. You know, they had a terrific time, stuff like that.
That's
so
awesome.
And then Sunday morning was – I'm not tooting my horn. That's not my point. My point is just like we had, you know, all these DMs who had those opportunities. So and the future is big for that event. Mm-hmm. I without going into full details, but it's going to be expanded. We learned a ton. You know, we learned a lot about branding it. We learned about what people want from it. We learned that people absolutely will respond to it. And we really have some sweet ideas for 2019 that you know, we'll be back in a big way. So, and that was, and now, you know, now we're 2.5 weeks away or 3 weeks away from the Paradox 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my to-do list is likely can't get too done, right? Like there's going to have to be at some point like, okay, we can't do this. And part of it is, you know, I look at the 25th anniversary as issue number 25 of our comic series, mm-hmm. and I look at next year as the reboot to the comic series. And so I don't think we'll call it Paradox number one or anything. You know, like it's
Paradox
it's,
now.
Yeah, Paradox Rebirth, you know, or yeah. something, though. And the goal is that by Free Comic Book Day is when we hope you won't recognize this place. We're going to have new almost everything along in from services to fixtures to products to events to just the whole experience as you walk in the door. So, and by next summer, we want to be doing camps for kids. We want to be doing, I've got a big downtown Fargo event I'm pitching to the DCP. I want to bring a nerd day to downtown Fargo where every business out there has an opportunity. Like I have a great idea. It's going to be so much fun. So, and things like that. And we did our first Pride in the Park and I did that and I realized that we did a terrible job. Like we bought a booth. We showed up with some flyers. That's all we did, you know?
And
so I really want to ramp that up as well. And just like across the board, you know, there's no stopping us. We've got new staff who are being trained and we need lots more staff. We need leaders and partners and all kinds of things. And the great thing about like D&D for Dogs and Ronald McDonald House is like not only have we found great partners, but we're putting ourselves out in front of people who wouldn't normally know who we are or wouldn't mm-hmm. come here. So that's good back for us, but that only helps us grow so that we can continue to do more and more and more. So,
right. Yeah. And just a quick note, Matt Jensen in the chat says hello and congrats on the anniversary. So
thanks, Matt. I gave a little speech during the thing, the Epic on Saturday night. And I mean, it's damn true. Like the reason I made it 25 years is, yeah, I did a lot of hard work, but so did everybody who ever worked here, and so did our customers. I mean, nearly the day we opened, we had a home for people to come down and play, and it was magic through the 90s, right?
Right.
And there's a thing I wrote on the website talking about that, about how I thought I was a game shop because I sold Magic the Gathering, and it took me like a decade to get it through my head that I was not a game shop when I sold only Magic the Gathering, right? But, it's 25 years of pop culture. Look at where pop culture is today versus 25 years ago. And, you know, if you shopped at Doc's during that time, it was because you and us were all part of all those things that were going on, from, the Phantom Menace to Pokemon to, mm-hmm. you know, all these things, Magic the Gathering, all these D&D editions, the explosion of board games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter what you were into. It's 25 years of pop culture that we're really celebrating. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, and through the lens of the store, and I think that's very interesting. And that's one of the cool things since we've become friends and partners in all these various events and other things. It's been fun to kind of hear and find out where things started and how they've moved, and you know, and see where it's grown and where it's come to. Even in the relatively short time you and I have collaborated.
Yep.
You know, just the changes that have gone through, and I don't want to say too much because we want to save some of that for the 25th anniversary episode. You know, we want to talk about that stuff more than we do on just our little lunchtime episode today. But it is really cool, and I mean, quite a milestone. It is actually a quarter of a century. You know.
But that's a long time, sir. So
it is.
But yeah, we are planning a big special 25th anniversary episode. That's just gonna have to happen. It's just hard to devote that extra night right now, but you know, we're gonna get there. So I wanna talk to you about some of the new, I mean, one of the things that we've been doing. So as everybody knows, so I don't know, like I'd say go back about 3 years, right? We had a certain business model at Paradox, and it worked from 1993 to 2015 in various ways, right? And we always knew where we were headed. We knew what we were trying to accomplish. We knew the goals that we had. We wanted to get PTQs and Magic. You know, we wanted to get tabletop nights. There were these destinations, right? Mm-hmm. And it does seem the last 3 years, like basically what happened is through these last 3 years, things have really I'm going to say they flattened out in a positive way. Everything works really well. And there are more things to do in Fargo-Moorhead than there ever were at any time before. You know, even as a nerd, just from the conventions to Kamikaze Snowman release parties to, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's just always something going on. But I do think that Paradox along the way, we at a time had a very unique place and a very unique role. And now we sort of have the same role a lot of other places do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's and that's great. There are so many new shops with great owners, and again, all these conventions and things like that. And they're all awesome, but we feel like the last 3 years we kind of, I don't know if we lost our direction a little bit or whatever. And one of the things in that process that we've now spent at least 6 months thinking about, and we have this just now we have this renewed enthusiasm and commitment that we haven't had in, I don't know, a long time. So we're mm-hmm. all very excited about that. And our staff is working together in a great way. But one of the things is board games. We just did a show with Lance recently. We talked about at least 5,000 board games released last year.
Yeah.
so from a Paradox perspective, from a board game shop perspective, that makes life really difficult because there are so many games to sort through. It's very hard to know which games are going to be hot. And then, like, a year like 2017, it felt like all the hot board games were out of my hands. You know, it felt like they were Kickstarter, because, like, Scythe initially was Kickstarter. Gloomhaven initially was Kickstarter. And that's just to mention two of them, you know.
Right.
And I just – I felt like the product got really stale on the shelf towards the end of last year. Pandemic Legacy 2 was probably the biggest thing, you know, that we had in on the shelf. But some years – there would be 10 hot games for us or more, you know, and that just wasn't happening. But, you know, I'm really excited because it seems like following up from Gen Con, I am just populating my shelves with new game after new game after new game, like almost every day the last 2-3 weeks. And it's crazy. Even Derek was promoting Root, and we finally got Dinosaur Island in, and we got Detective in, which looks awesome. I have a copy at home and haven't gotten to play it. I know you played on
screen.
We
played, and we did terribly.
You guys did horrible.
It was so good.
You know, a game you and I both picked up this weekend, The Mind, and that game's super hot. Like, everybody's kind of hearing about that game. I bought like 25 copies of my initial things. I'm like, we're gonna sell this thing in no time. You know, it's like $15.
Yep.
And it's the simplest game ever. And when I tell it to you, so it's you basically paid $15 for a box with cards numbered 1 to 100. I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's what you did, right? So there's a little more to it. I'm being a little, you know, but. So no matter how many of you there are, you shuffle up the cards, you deal them out. Like the first, you're going to play a certain number of levels, right? So if Josh and I were playing right now in a two-player game, Josh and I, to beat the game, would have to complete 12 levels of the game.
Right.
So the first level is we shuffle up the 100 cards, deal out one card each. So you deal out cards to every player in the game equal to the number of levels that you're up to. So it's level 3, you deal out 3 cards. Level 7, you deal out 7 cards to each player, right? So level 1's easy. So you pick up your card, and you look at it. Now, here's all the game is. Josh and I, all we have to do is put our cards in sequential order, lowest to highest.
Yep.
Just that's it. Just ascending order. We're done. We win. We complete the level, right?
Yep.
We cannot talk to each other.
Yep.
We cannot signal each other. We cannot make any indication whatsoever of what number card we have. I kind of cheated the other day because I had 99 and 100, and I put my cards down on the table, and I started drinking and eating my snacks and things like that. I mean, that was a signal, right? Like, that was absolutely a signal. Like, either I was bored or I had really high numbers, you know, one or the other, right?
So, right.
But yeah, I mean, the game was awesome.
It's true, and I'm being told I need to move your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
So that way we can see your face a little bit more. Since there's just the two of us, I think we can manage that.
Just the two of us,
Calm down, Josh. We're just the podcast is more for the audio. We're just doing this. Our production staff is on holiday right now. We don't have anyone to run the cameras.
Nice.
We appreciate the feedback. But yes, I got to play a couple of games with my son. So we just played two-player. You can play up to four. And it's great because you just kind of stare at each other for a while, and it's almost a daring contest at some point where you're just like, no one's put down a card, and you've got four in hand. You're level four or whatever. And it's like, my lowest is a 20. And you know it's come the previous several levels. So you're like, okay, well, you know, here's the mix of cards we've had. We've had maybe a couple in the teens or whatever. So it's like, it's possible mine's the lowest, but it seems really unlikely. But he's not playing anything. Do I put this down? And what happens, you know? And so eventually you put one down, and then you'll see the other person be like, ah, and they'll put down, like, the next card. Like, you had 23, they had 24, and you're just like, geez, you know, there's great moments where it just really lines up, and you do connect. Like, the whole idea is you become one with the mind, you know, so that you're in sync and you're playing together and you're able to understand just by watching the other person and waiting to see if they play, when they play.
Well, the worst
where their numbers are.
And there's a couple things. So you get three lives basically. So if you play a card out of sequence, you lose a life. And then anybody who had lower cards than the one that was played, they discard those and you continue on. So so you can do that up to three times. And then there are rewards. At the end of levels like 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9, you win some different rewards. The other thing you can do is there are these throwing stars. You start off with one, I think, and then you earn one after level two. And you can agree as a group to use a throwing star. And what that means, you all discard the lowest card that you have.
Yep.
When I first read that, I thought that was a little awkward. I was like, I don't get how that – but I mean you can get kind of in the middle of a stack and you're all staring at each other and then just use that throwing star because it means you're all sort of facing the same problem. And so – and often that tells you really good stuff like – you might discard an 80 and I might discard a 62, but I might still have a 69. Well, now I know I can play the 69 because I know you discarded 80. And so like the things that does is terrific. But deciding when to use those is pivotal and so on and so forth. So,
yeah, no, I mean, for $15, like you said, it's you're buying some numbered cards and then there's the cards that indicate the level and the lives and the stars. It's not a huge production. The cards are really good quality, though.
Yes.
I'm being a little facetious.
I mean, you're playing for the intellectual property of the you get the rules, you get the life cards, the throwing stars, the it is something you could proxy, but I mean, it's still more fun to just let them do the work.
And, for $15, I mean, that's maybe not insignificant. I don't want to knock $15 because honestly, if you walked up and said, "Hey, do you want $15?" I would gladly take it. Like it wouldn't, I wouldn't just be like, "No, throw it in the gutter."
And it's another one of those games that goes perfectly into the library of games to play with people who don't normally play games.
Yeah,
put it next to Codenames, put it next to Love Letter, put it next to Wits and Wagers. You know, put it next. You know, like it's stuff that you can bust out and play with grandma or too young a kid would be a problem. But I mean, as soon as you get a teenager, you know, I would think you can play it with them for sure. So,
oh, absolutely.
And it's a fun party, you know, kind of filler game. I mean, I'm a guy who like I like a game like this way more than I like Cards Against Humanity. Like Cards is fun, but it's not even a game. You know, it's an excuse
to be filthy.
Yeah,
you know,
it does
it does it very well.
Yeah.
I've played Cards Against Humanity and I'm kind of done with it. I know exactly what it's going to be every time I play, and and like I said, if that's the experience you want, I'm really not trying to knock it because I especially like what the Cards Against Humanity people do with like their promotion and the way they run the business and stuff. You know, that there at least was. Now you can buy it in Target and whatnot, but there was definitely an attempt to help the small store owner, the small business owner. At least at the beginning with that. But regardless, we don't need to go on a big – listen to me go on a big tangent about Cards Against Humanity.
No. And I mean another game that we play that's kind of in this whole wheelhouse too, we play a lot of paperback at home. Paperback is just awesome. I mean it's Scrabble as a deck builder. You know, so it's a card game version of Scrabble. Everybody starts off with the same 10 cards, five wild cards, RSTNL. And then there's a communal letter and then there is the communal card pool that you buy from. So all your letters are worth a penny at the beginning of the game. So, you know, if you spell, you know, run with ran with the communal A, right? That's 3 points or 3 cents. Now you can buy a 3 cent card from the middle that might be worth 2 cents and might have an ability. And then you just sort of like keep adding. That goes in your graveyard. When you're done with your first 10, you shuffle. Now they're in your deck. So, and now you can build longer words. And the way you win, there are fame cards that you buy that are worth victory condition points that are all wilds. They're actually really clever. So like the old Dominion problem where, yes, your win con has to go in your deck, does nothing, right? These are just wilds that then have point values. So when two stacks of the different levels of those are gone, the game ends. So, and it's awesome. There's like you might buy for 6 cents, you might buy an R that says start next hand with +1 card. Or a lot of them will have. There are some crazy ones. I love. There's several that are double word score, but then trash the card. So, but you might you might get 16 cents to spend, you know, even though you lost that card now, and that'll fuel you getting one of the big win condition cards or buying a couple of really expensive cards. They range in price from 2 cents to 10 cents, and they all go in piles. So there's the 2 cent pile, 3 cent pile, 4 cent, you know, so, and obviously the higher up, the better the abilities, but often the 10 centers are often like a Z or an X that have a crazy ability, but they're a Z or an X, you
right,
know,
and so very limited use.
But you know, might be, you know, plus three cards next hand or things like that. So the other problem is I've had hands where I draw nine cards to start my hand and I cannot figure out what word to spell because I've got like six letters in my hand, three wilds, the communal word, your communal letter, know, and you're just like, I can't even spell a 10 letter word, you know? And, and then you just sit there, you're trying to spell and everybody's mad at you, you know? And, but if you haven't played Paperback, it is a fantastic game. It's just awesome.
So, I actually haven't played that yet. I might have to put that on my list.
Another great family game. It's really easy to play. It's actually kind of a nice way to teach people what a deck builder is because it's so simple to understand. Like, everybody knows how to play, like, Scrabble or something, right? It's just instead of tiles or cards, that's it. And then
you have to acquire
more, and your deck gets – and your options to spell words get better, and there you go. I mean, it works really well. So, you know, jumping back to Cards Against Humanity, the one sort of social interaction game that I personally don't get – we sell a lot of it, so I apologize to anybody who's listening who likes it. My goal is not to trash it. It's just not for me, right?
Yeah.
But that Super Fight game, like, I don't get it. I'm sorry. it's not for me, and I don't understand it. So,
you know, it's basically the same premise, you know, in line with Cards Against Humanity. There's also Red Flags that goes along with that sort of thing, but you know, I guess the idea is you've ever sitting around and talked with friends and they're like, who would win in a fight, Goku or Superman? You know, it's that, except instead of taking things that already exist, it's like, here, make a superhero or, you know, something.
Well, a lot of them are things that exist, you know, because you draw one pile and you might draw Mickey Mouse. So you draw a character and a thing, I think. You draw two things, right?
Yeah.
Or two cards.
You've got cards and then you play a couple.
Yeah, well, there's two different piles. There's one is characters and one is, like, stuff. And so, like, you might draw Mickey Mouse with a popcorn bucket. And, like, how could he defeat Godzilla with a tank?
Right.
And so then all the game is the two of you, like, take turns declaring how your character would win. And then everybody else votes and there you go. And it's just like, eh.
I know. There's a bunch of games that vary on that sort of theme. There was another one. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's basically you're vying for a job. And so, like, every round, you know, in the same that sort of fashion, one person's the employer, the person who's interviewing, and then you have to play some cards to try and present yourself as the best employee. Here are my qualifications. Here's my experience. And then you kind of have, you know, that same sort of thing. So it's all improvisation games, and those are just the triggers to do it. And, you know, there isn't much of a game there, think, is the thing.
That I think, is the problem for me with Super Fight. It's just like, it's just not quite enough to live up to, like, being a game. Or whatever. Like, it can be super fun.
There's a point system and stuff, and somebody wins at some point. But you don't really play to win. You play to come up with some weird combination and try to, like you said, figure out how Mickey Mouse with a bucket could destroy Godzilla in a tank and have everybody agree with you. You know, it is what it is, and they have their audience, and, you know, like, I'm not trying to bag on any of them either, but there are a lot of those now that you play one, you kind of played them all, and the novelty has worn off a bit for me.
The other thing, it reminds me, too, another new game coming in is, we've got a game coming in called Pantone. You heard of this?
Yeah, like, that's on the shelf, and
it's another one that I want to
pick up, but I can't right now.
We talked about it with Lance, and it's a big box of color swatches, and you draw a name out of a deck of cards. You know, if you draw Mickey Mouse, you've got to use the color swatches to get everybody else to figure out that it's Mickey Mouse that you drew, right?
Yeah.
But it's basically just kind of like putting colors together is about it.
Right,
and,
so like the layers of colors. So I think on the back of the box they show, like, Abe Lincoln is one of them. So, of course, with that you'd choose one that was like a skin tone and maybe like a brown underneath it for the beard, and then you'd like try to make a stovetop
hat. Yeah, yeah.
So. With the colors so that they look at it and be like, oh, that looks like he's, you know, it looks like a person wearing a hat with a beard, Abe Lincoln. You know, you try to get them to figure out what you're going for just by layering the colors in that way.
Yep.
That one sounds interesting to me. I wouldn't be able to play it. Probably wouldn't be able to play it with my wife, unfortunately, because she's colorblind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just blind, so I don't know that I would be able to play it. Like,
that's a barrier.
I really want to grab that and take it home because I think V and Jen would really enjoy that game. And maybe I should just do that and they can play it or, you know, find someone else to play it with anyway, because I think that V would really like it. So, but I don't know that I can play very well, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited about that. I guess, you know, my thing is just I'm just happy – as a local game store guy, to have some of the hot games on the shelf instead of just hearing about them as people are buying them on Kickstarter, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing. It's like there are a lot of these games that I've heard about. You know, we mentioned that Root is on the shelf and Dinosaur Island, and those were ones that were Kickstarter, but they're ones that there wasn't a huge. They didn't do a lot more than the Kickstarter initially, so people have been waiting for the reprint. And so I honestly wasn't expecting things to come in all at once that quickly.
Yeah,
so
neither were we. I thought a lot of it was going to be on pre-order and upcoming, and you know, but I was surprised how much, especially fairly close after Gen Con, I was surprised how much was already available. So
yeah, well, and I you hear that there are people who are looking for it, like Root, especially. I just started looking into a little bit more because I'm like, okay, I heard about it. It was at Gen Con. There's got to be some news about it in the reprint. And sure enough, they're like, okay, the reprint's coming probably in a month or two. And so I'm like, okay, so. Probably going to be out by like October, November. I'll maybe see a copy on the shelf. And then you guys get like 8 copies, you know, 8 or 10 copies. Like, oh, so you guys managed to get some before they ran out everywhere else. And that's fantastic because it's something you can't get through their website right now, Leader Games, because they're waiting on the reprint. Or maybe they have a very small number after Gen Con was over, that sort of a thing. And so I was really surprised to see some of those things and kind of sad because I can't get them right now. But maybe when the reprint comes in, I'll be able to pick up one or two of them.
Yeah, and there's a couple more games on my list. Waiting for Everdell, that's on pre-order. And then there's a game called Villainous that I'm super interested in. You all play various Disney villains. But each villain has their own way to win the game. So it reminds me of Vast to some degree. It's made by different people, but it sort of sounds like that. And you can mess with each other and try to interfere with the other way the person wins the game. But everybody's got their own thing they're trying to accomplish as, you know, these villains. So
yeah, no, I've heard good things about that one. And again, with a Disney skin on it, a game that's actually good with Disney on it. Not to say that they don't exist, but you know, like. My family, my kids love Disney, and so that might be a really fun one to play as a family. Depending on how complex it is, it might not appeal, but yeah. So I've been kind of looking forward to that one. Matt just mentioned Spirit Island in there, and God, that's one of my absolute favorite games. I got to interview the designer. If you haven't listened to that podcast, go back a couple of weeks.
And we have we have copies coming this week.
Excellent. And the expansion should be coming too, I believe. Like the reprint of the expansion should be, I think they've got some on their website, so I'm hoping and praying, fingers crossed, that those are coming in also, because I've been dying to get it. Oh, I love that game. It's so good. But yeah.
Simmer down.
I'm sorry. It's just, I get excited about that one, because it really is just one of my absolute favorite games right now. And I got to interview Eric Royce. And we're going to interview him again coming soon, because the Kickstarter for the next expansion is going to be coming out mid-October. And so we didn't get nearly through all the topics we wanted to talk to, and he agreed to come back, and we figured that would be a good time so that we could talk about some of the expansion stuff and dig into that some more. So look forward to that.
Yeah, and then, I mean, as up back to sort of upcoming things, you know, as soon as So Paradox 25 is 5 days long and sort of targets like everybody's interests along the way. So we kind of open up with comics. Then we have we literally have free graphic novel day on Thursday, the 4th of October. It is meant to be deceptive, but as anybody who spends $25 that day will get a free graphic novel, period. And we'll have a big box you choose from with all kinds of cool stuff in it. So, then the 6th is like sort of, it's Magic the Gathering is the focus because Friday Night Magic, but also there's a big Magic tournament on Saturday. But Saturday is like celebrating gaming. And this is the tabletop night. That night, we picked the four what we think are the most sort of like cornerstone iconic games in the history of games, right? And so it's Catan, Carcassonne, Dominion, and Ticket to Ride. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have four tournaments that start at the same time for those games. Up to 16 people can play in any tournament, and they're totally free. If you win your tournament, you get a $50 gift card. If you take second, you get a $20 gift card. But that's not it. All four winners are going to play on a final table to be our 25th anniversary Grand Gamer Champion guy, person, man, woman, child, and get a $100 gift certificate. Now, what we're going to do is the game for that is going to be a mystery game. You will find out what it is. It's going to be you'll be able to play it. It's not, we're not going to pick a
Twilight Imperium for
a Euro game you've never heard of before. Learn the rules, go. It might be Candyland or Chutes and Ladders, something like that, where, it's going to be a classic game that everybody either how to play or it takes just a couple minutes to know how to play. So,
right.
And it's going to be awesome. So that's our night. There'll also be open gaming as well. So, and the culmination, of course, is the Paradox family reunion. We're going to have open gaming all day long, and we're going to take a picture in front of the store featuring everybody who's whoever wants to show up. It's one big commemorative 25th anniversary picture, and we're going to turn those into lithographs after the fact. So it'll be a lot of fun. But, where I was headed was, then it's 2 weeks later is ValleyCon.
Mm-hmm.
The week after that will be Nerdy Ween here.
Yep.
The week after that will be Extra Life here. We've got a couple of different things in the works in November. One of them is I'm a member of Comics Pro now, so we're going to be a part of Local Comic Shop Day, which is the 17th of November. Then it's Black Friday, which is our big sale.
Oh, wow,
year.
Yeah.
Then the first weekend in December, it's going to be two things for us. We've got going to be our Magic the Gathering State Championships weekend for North Dakota. But it's also going to be we have a new twist on tabletop night for the holidays, basically involving gift exchanges and potluck and all kinds of stuff. And that's going to be our big night that night. A couple weeks later, we have our usual holiday sale. And then at Docs, we're just in that last 10 days when there's a lot of business and things like that. And then it'll already be 2019. So,
yep. And then it'll be Rich's funeral. Well,
yeah. And then
die from exhaustion.
But see, the thing then is I got 4 months to free comic book day. And in between that time, I'm doing a big flip flop to the store. I'm putting new fixtures. I'm buying. There will be an area of the store. There'll be multiple areas of the store where this is true, where there are really nice leather chairs, wooden tables for gaming. But it's going to be kind of unique. It's going to be different. It's not going to be for just something to come and do all the time. Stay tuned for how all that's going to come together. We have some major announcements. We have, if everybody's got games in their closet, we got an answer for that. We got a plan. We got a way for you to get new games and get rid of your old games and to do it all here. So we had some really sweet stuff. So this year we didn't even get a rummage sale in this year. It just never had time to materialize onto the schedule. One thing I want to do in January of 2019 is I hope to have a good schedule for the year so that let's say the rummage sale is going to be in June. I want it on the calendar in January, let's say D&D for Dogs weekend is going to be September or whatever. I want it on the calendar, as much as I can.
Yeah.
I want to get awareness out there for all the things that are coming up over the course of the year. So, I wish I had a slightly better way to do that prominently than just necessarily a calendar, you know, a Google calendar. So we got to think about that as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just the beginning of the next 25 years. And I mean, for me, there's no turning back. I mean, I spent some years here kind of sitting on my butt, and it's just, you can't do that anymore. You know, it's yeah. not, it just doesn't work. So,
Well, Matt suggested that for candy, if you're doing Candyland, you should have at least a 3-card hand limit so that you can choose your cards and play them. And Jen is reminding you that 11 weeks after Free Comic Book Day, there's a very important event going on.
Yeah, I gotta plan a wedding. She's absolutely right. We're just getting around to our engagement pictures tomorrow night.
Awesome.
And we're gonna try to do save the dates soon, and then, you know, we gotta do invites, and we got our venue, so we felt like it just kind of feels like after we got the venue, we're just sort of like, well, that's done.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're ready. We'll just show up and
pick a few flowers on the way. We'll be fine.
I did try to tell her that I would show up at 4:15 if the wedding was at 4:30, and she didn't like that very much. So, but yeah. And then even that, at the end of next year, it's like the wedding's the biggest thing. I don't mean that this isn't, but my 50th birthday is on December 4th. So, we'll do something for that too. And then hopefully she and I will get out of here on some kind of honey. We want to go to Hawaii if it's still there.
is there concern that winter. It might not be? I haven't
heard.
Well,
the hurricanes and the volcanoes and the hurricane volcanoes. I mean, it's not good. So.
Oh, we'll keep an eye on that for you. Make sure that Hawaii doesn't just collapse into the sea come the next Atlantis.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate your... so, I don't know. So, yeah. Stuff to do.
Lots and lots coming up. So that takes us to just a little bit over time, or right around time, I believe. So, well, that seems like a good place to call our quits for now. But thank you, folks, for tuning in and hanging out with us. Matt and Jen and Josh, and I think Paul stopped in at some point there, if he's still around. We appreciate you hanging out with us this lunchtime and just listening to us chat.
Thank you all for kindly stopping by.
Have a heap and helping of our hospitality. But yes, lots and lots of stuff coming up at Paradox. 25th anniversary is probably the biggest thing next on the radar, but I mean, keep tuned to all those other things, and we'll of course have more podcasts where we get discuss those in more detail as we get closer to them, like Extra Life.
Yeah, we had a really nice article on the front page of the Forum Business section.
Oh yeah,
this week, so on Saturday, so that was great. So we're starting a digital ad campaign today. It's the first time we've ever done that. So So take your ad blockers off your phone, everybody.
Allow pop-ups just for today. we hope you guys will continue to tune in. We'll hopefully have our 25th anniversary podcast planned soon, which we will, of course, live stream like we do on twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC and live stream it on Facebook as well. And then, of course, we release podcasts every Monday, typically in the morning. This one's a little bit late today just because of scheduling. But Monday morning at 9 a.m., that goes up on iTunes and, of course, at ParadoxCNC.com. You can find Paradox on Facebook, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, as well as ParadoxCNC on Instagram. I'm pretty sure there's a MySpace page out there somewhere, maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. I don't know. You've been around for 25 years.
It's 274 followers on Instagram. Boom. I'm proud of that one.
There you go.
Working hard.
Oh, definitely check it out. Come down to the store. If you have any questions about any events or if you have any ideas, I mean, clearly there's a lot going on right now, but if there are events that you want to see, a lot of the stuff that we do is either things that we think would be a good idea or it's stuff that the community presents and wants to do. Because that's the name of the game here is connecting with the community and, you know, whether it be for a charitable cause or just a specific game or event you're interested in. We want to try and do what we can to be connected to all of that and connected to all of you. So let us know. Find us on all these platforms and send some feedback and come down to the store and chat with Rich or any of the fine, wonderful, lovely employees who are here to serve your comic and gaming needs. And yeah, do we have anything else to
I don't think so. There's stuff in my head, but it'll just go on and on. So I'm just gonna shut up.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Wow, it's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you on the next DoxCast.
Goodbye.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, be gone.